Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's game day. You only got one job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for 4 quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way. Because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates. You keep your head high. And you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror. And that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you.
All right. It is Saturday. It is snow on the ground, playoff weekend number 2, boys and girls. That's right, part 2. And my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, your host and guide through this maze that we call the sports of the United States of America. And joining me, right alongside me, is my partner in crime, and that man who loves his black eyed peas, Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. How about you, boy? What's going on, my friend?
Man, life is good. Life is good. NFL weekend, playoff weekend. We're playing the rock and roll.
Ready to rock and roll. Well, I tell you what a great weekend it was for some NFL playoffs last weekend. It truly is the survival of the fittest. Well, Jay, let's jump right into it. We've got a lot to cover this weekend. Obviously, NFL playoffs, we're going to talk a little bit about the Pacers. And also, we're going to talk a little, in the second hour, we're going to talk a little hoop action. We've got Evan Williams from Bleeding Gold and Black calling in. And hopefully, we'll have Mr. Gary Snyder and Ed Kratz of the Philadelphia Inquirer. But Jay and I have the next hour. And Jay, who's up this weekend, my friend?
You say, what's up? Who's up?
Who's up?
Who's up? Hey, man, I'm telling you, if we're talking NFL playoffs, I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to just jump out of my seat right now and talk about the big game in Foxborough. Woo!
Well, man, I'll tell you what, we will get to that game. I can assure you. Know one thing, though, guys, I tell you what, I love it. I love this Tim Tebow craze that's going on across the nation. All of the different Tebow songs that are popping up, and I tell you what, I love the energy that Tim Tebow brings to the Denver Broncos. Jay, what are your thoughts on Mr. Tim Tebow?
Well, you know what, I'll tell you this, like him or not, and I said this last year about LeBron James, like him or not, he's bringing interest to the sport. You know, last year, there were more people watching the NBA playoffs than ever before. I would bet, I haven't seen the numbers, but there's probably more people watching the NFL playoffs right now simply because of Tim Tebow, whether you like him or not. It is good for the sport. Everybody wants to have that feel-good story. You got to have that polarizing figure, if you will. And I tell you what, it's doing nothing but bringing more interest to NFL football.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
My favorite.
I love it. I tell you what. You're right. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, I was just saying that's my favorite. I mean, when he went on that rant, it's classic. It'll never die.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. We'll start at the top game that you talked about. Well, one of the things, really, before we get to that, and I apologize because I wanted to make sure we knock this out of the park first and foremost, because we want to make sure that we talk about it because it's right here in our backyard. Colts hire Ryan Grigson as the new GM. I tell you what, Jay, take a minute and talk to us about the new Colts GM. What are your thoughts on that? And good hire, bad hire, go ahead.
Well, you know what? That whether it's a good or bad hire is yet to be seen. I think there is a lot of excitement around simply because, A, the kid is a Purdue grad, which is local, and then he grew up in Northwest Indiana in Maryville. So there are going to be a lot of people excited to see what Ryan Grigson brings to the table. I'm excited because he is a young guy. He's only 39 years old, so that will lead to some different types of decisions being made. You know, when you got new blood in the organization, a lot of times that will lead to people wanting to put their own stamp on the program, or their fingerprint, if you will. And so we were talking about this earlier in the week on the Gary Snyder Show, about what we thought would happen with Jim Caldwell as a result of Grigson taking over. And in my opinion, I just think that Grigson wants to put his fingerprint on the organization, and he'll probably make a move in a different direction unless Jim Caldwell is his guy. But we don't really know that. So, and you can't be mad at him either way, whether he keeps him or fires him, because this guy's career starts with the decision of making a change or not at the head coaching position.
Well, and here's my thoughts, and Gary's always been on this bandwagon of fire Jim Caldwell, and that's okay if that's the decision that the new GM decides to make. You know, we live with it and we move on. Here's my thoughts on that whole Jim Caldwell thing. I think, yes, he wants to make his stamp in the organization. But also, there's a difference between making a stamp and tipping the boat all the way over. And one of the things that we don't know is the biggest unknown out there. And everybody seems to have their own opinion on this situation. But I really believe there's only a couple of people that know what's going to happen with Peyton Manning. And honestly, I don't think one of those people is Jim Irsay. And I certainly know that the new general manager, Ryan Grigson, isn't one of those. And I certainly know that Jim Caldwell isn't one of those. I'll tell you who knows. Maybe Eli, but definitely Archie, and definitely Peyton. Those are the two people that definitely know what's going to happen in 2012 with Peyton Manning in number 18. And here's the thing. With the new salary cap rules, you can't, you know, Ryan can't renegotiate this contract with the way that the new labor agreement works and reads. They either have to drop him or trade him or keep him. Those are the only three options on the table. If they drop him, Peyton Manning is gone forever. That is a big, big ice cube to swallow whole, even though it might be one that needs to be made. Second of all, if Peyton Manning stays, the last thing you want to do is bring in a whole new coach with a whole new system trying to train Peyton Manning, or Peyton Manning trying to train a coach. So you've got to keep that continuity. So here's what I think. I think for now, Jim Caldwell's job is safe with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, that could change if Peyton Manning decides, hey, I am no longer want to be a part of this organization. Drop me, trade me, or I'm retiring. If that scenario comes to reality, I'm not good with my big words on Saturday morning. You know, I use them all week long. On Saturday they just don't work. But so I think that if that or on the flip side, if Peyton Manning stays and they still can't manage to pull out some wins after three or four losses in a row, perhaps maybe. Then that's when Ryan Grigson said, okay, I've seen all I need to see. But for now, I think really what owner Jim Irsay and Gregson really need to work out is this whole Peyton Manning and the Andrew Luck thing. Do we keep him? Do we don't keep him? Do we draft Andrew Luck? Do we not draft Andrew Luck? Do we trade for? Do we trade that number one pick for a very, very valuable pick that we could get maybe a good corner, offensive lineman, somebody that can protect Peyton Manning if he does come back? And let's face it, even if we have Andrew Luck at the center there, let's face it, we still need a better line, and there's still a lot of holes that need to be fixed. Peyton Manning by far was not the only reason that we lost so many games. So I tell you what, do you remember the old TV show, Jay, the $6 million man? Steve Austin and the $6 million man. That's what we got here, but a multi-million dollar man.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man.
And I think that's what the Indianapolis Colts think about Peyton Manning. It's their own bionic man, and they can rebuild him, and they've got the money, and they've got the technology. So here's what I think. I think if they can rebuild their $100 million bionic quarterback, I think absolutely that that's every opportunity that the Indianapolis Colts and Jim Irsay want to do. And let's face it, if you're Ryan Grigson and you have the opportunity to keep Peyton Manning on your roster, I think that's exactly what you do. So, Jim Caldwell, buckle up. Ride's not over. You're not safe yet. But I think for now, he's in a good situation. He's positioned himself to be safe for now. But there again, like I said, the Colts have to decide whether or not to pay $28 million bonus to the four-time big guy, Peyton Manning, by March the 8th. I don't know. Might be a situation where they walk away from it, Jay.
I think that, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. I believe that Grigson's job is very difficult right now in the sense that he has to, unfortunately, try to push this situation along as fast as possible in finding out whether Peyton wants to stay. Because if Peyton is going to stay and if he's healthy enough to play, then we keep the coach and the continuity there. But if he's not healthy enough to play, and that's really the bottom line. If he's healthy enough to play, we keep him. But we don't know that. We need to find that out. And I think that's what they're trying to do in the background.
Right, and I absolutely totally agree with you. So we'll find out what happens with Peyton Manning. Obviously, the balance and the jgravesreport.com. He's all over it. Well, guys, you know what we got to do is we got to take a break. But when we get back, we are going to just really dive head in to the playoffs. The road to Indianapolis, Jay, has begun. And we will see who is going to show up here in Indianapolis and who is going to represent. And we're going to talk about NFL playoffs 2012, part two, when we get back. Right. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
This kid is a gamer. He's a baller. He's a playmaker and a shot smaller.
In case you didn't know,
I got T-Bowed. He shatters the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win games.
Listen.
I got T-Bowed. He shatters the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is unleash.
Tell T-Bow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
Right on Sundays.
Unleash.
Tell T-Bow. Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play.
I'm going to church Sunday.
Run, pass, option. I think that's my game.
I guarantee you that.
I'm no Don Elway.
He's rewriting the book.
Week in and week out.
He's a unique
football player.
That's what Tim Tebow's all about.
He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot caller. He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot caller. Unleash
Tim Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
Right on Sunday.
And all he does is win. All he does is win.
One more day. One more win.
All he does is win games.
All right. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente, your host for the next to infinity and beyond, put it that way. And right alongside with me is my co-host for today and partner in crime, Mr. Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com. Holla at your boy, my friend.
Holla at your boy. It's your man, Jay Graves, from the jgravesreport.com. Get at me.
Woo! All right, man, I'll tell you what. What do you think about that Tim Tebow song? I mean, that's just one of a ton of them that are out there. And I heard that one, and I was like, that's classic. Because, and if you've seen the YouTube version of that song, it is classic. They use the ESPN analysis guy, and it is really, really good. Have you seen that video, Jay?
Yeah, I've seen it. I tell you what, man, if this guy's agent isn't working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, getting him every single endorsement on the planet.
Fire it!
Fire.
Absolutely.
I mean, you think about how popular he is right now, and he's hot. Whether he wins or loses today would be irrelevant going into this offseason. This guy is so popular right now, he needs to be getting – I mean, I'm not talking just endorsements of sporting gear. I'm talking about Tiger Woods type endorsements, like Accenture and companies like that. Huge, you know, $100 million endorsements where this guy's making ridiculous money. I mean, because we don't know how long he's going to be hot. So you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you one thing about this Tim Tebow phenomenon. You know, a lot of people say he's polarizing. I don't know that he's polarizing. I wouldn't necessarily use that definition. But I will tell you one thing. He's the hottest marketability product out there. And you're right, Jay. If his agent isn't out there working 24/7, well, he needs to find a new agent. Well,
right.
one thing for sure, as long as Tim keeps winning, that value keeps going up. And what a huge win that would be this weekend. The New England Patriots are the next stop for the Tim Tebow bandwagon as the Denver Broncos travel to Foxborough. And I'll tell you what, I like this matchup. It's an element that both of them are used to playing in for the divisional round of the AFC playoff picture as the world is enveloped the Tebow mania after the Broncos eased past the Steelers in the wild card round. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are focused on reversing their recent playoff misfortunes, if you will. So, Tim Tebow, Tom Brady, Jay, what's going to happen, my friend?
Well, you know what? If you can remember the last matchup earlier in the season when the Patriots went out to Denver, the Patriots end up blowing them out. But if you remember, in the first half of that game, the Denver Broncos were able to effectively run the football until Willis McGahee was got hurt and was out of that game. My thoughts are, going into this new game, now that McGahee is healthy, the Broncos have the number one rush offense in the league right now. The key is to try to limit the possessions that Tom Brady and that offense can have. In the first game, they had like 17 possessions. Well, you get this guy on the field 17 times, then he's going to score points. So what you've got to do with that offense for the Denver Broncos is control the clock, run that football, nickel and dime them down the field, burn the clock, and keep Tom Brady on the sideline. Now, they're going to score points if you allow them to get out on the field. But if they can effectively, methodically move the ball downfield and control the ball by not turning it over, they've got a great possibility of winning this ball game. And in my opinion, with the momentum that they're coming in with, I know that Tom Brady and Belichick are unbelievable. I think that I saw something where they were combined 14-2 in postseason and 3 Super Bowls before they were denied the perfect season when they got beat by the New York Giants in a few Super Bowls ago. So, but my thoughts are, hey, with this guy, I'm not going to bet against Tim Tebow if he sticks around for 3 quarters. So right now I'm going with Tebow probably on the hype, but I think that they have a possibility of winning this game if they can control the ball and control the time of possession.
And you know what? I absolutely agree with you. I'm excited about the Denver Broncos. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this about me because I spend so much time rooting for the Colts and saying go Colts. I am not by far a bandwagon Bronco fan. But a lot of people that know me personally know that I've always been a Bronco fan for a long time. When I was a kid, I used to live in Colorado Springs with my parents. My father was a pastor. We moved around. Anyway, we used to live out in Colorado Springs. So we became big Denver Bronco fans as a family. And way back in the days when John Elway was there and the Orange Crush and all of the stuff with the Denver Broncos. So I'm excited on the secondary note that Plan B has an opportunity to get to the playoffs. And I think to get to the Super Bowl. And I think it's exciting that it seems to be no matter what happens in the AFC, the road to the Super Bowl always comes through Foxborough. And I tell you what, of the last 3 playoff losses, the Giants in the Super Bowl, the Ravens in the 2010 wild card round, and the Jets in the divisional round last year, obviously the most recent noteworthy. And I tell you what, I look at the last year's Jets and I look at this year's Broncos. The Broncos have a few similarities to the Jets team last year. Both are defensive teams relying on young quarterbacks and strong running games to lead their offensive, Jay. However, the most important similarity between the two teams is that they both have been beaten heavily by the Patriots in the regular season. And the Jets returned to Foxborough last season with the perfect game plan to subdue the Patriots offense and win the game. If the Broncos can do that this year, just like the Jets did last year to the Patriots, that's going to be an incredible win and one of the biggest upsets that we've seen in the playoff history, and especially with all of this love and momentum that we've got around Tim Tebow right now. And obviously everybody wants to see the young quarterback, Tim Tebow, come in and beat this. And if you'll pardon the another biblical pun when it comes to Tim Tebow, but really is a David and Giant scenario. But I'll tell you one thing. I really believe Tim Tebow could go into Foxborough with his slingshot and slay the Philistines, Jay. I think it can happen. I really do. What are your thoughts, America? We want to know. Give us a call. 917-889-8516 is the digits to get to Jay and I. I'll tell you what, it's going to be an exciting game.
It's not impossible for him to go for the Broncos. Because you have to remember, it's not just Tim Tebow. They've got an excellent defense. They've been playing excellent football all season long on the defensive side of the ball. They've got probably the rookie of the year in Von Miller, and then Elvis Dumervil is over there. I mean, you've got a complete team. I mean, this game of football is the ultimate team sport. So let's not think that, you know, it's just Tim Tebow. But however, Tim Tebow has been the spark that the team has needed over the course of the season, because remember, when he took over, they were 1-4, and they were just dragging. But now this guy, there's a new energy, there is a new belief, and I think that they have an opportunity, like we said last week against Pittsburgh. If they hang around for three quarters, they could win the ball game.
Oh, you're absolutely right, and it is a team game. And here's the thing. Shutting down Tim Tebow in the running game is the responsibility of defensive ends Mark Anderson and Sean Ellis. And I tell you what, they may prefer to be chasing the quarterback in the passing game rather than setting up the edge in the running game. But sacking Tebow can't be their number one priority either in the game. And I think that New England has a very good ability to adjust to a quarterback's plan. Here's the thing about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's play-action pass is a little bit different than a lot of other people. And you know what? Here's the thing. And you follow basketball just like I do. Let me ask you this. If back in the day, you say, hey, I've got a huge 7'2" guy, what position you gonna put him in? You're going to put him in, you know, in the center there. He's going to have his back to the goal, and, you know, he's going to be blocking shots and so forth. He's not going to be shooting three-point shots. If he starts shooting three-point shots and start hitting, everybody says, hey, you can't do that. Well, that's exactly what's going on with Tebow, Jay. He's got this play-action pass where, you know, a lot of times that running back might be a bit of a decoy while he passes it downfield. Well, the safeties can move in position to do that. But here's the thing. One variable of the Tim Tebow play-action pass is Tim Tebow. That boy can take off running, and he will take off running. So do you move somebody in and say, oh, okay, he's going to take off running. We want to block. Okay, maybe you've got the other tight end that can block. Maybe, possibly. But now you freed open a wide receiver. That's why this guy is so dangerous on the field, Jay.
Well, you know, let me you make a great point. I wrote an article this week. I'm not sure if you saw it. It's called The Real Disabled Quarterback. And what we were talking about is just what you're saying. What happens is when you've got my point was Tom Brady is just as deficient as Tim Tebow. And what I mean by that is Tom Brady has an inability to run the football. So, therefore, defenses – will line up and know that he's going to pass the ball probably 95% of the time so they can play the pass first. So, therefore, with them playing the pass first, his windows, his throwing lanes and windows are about 12 to 13 inches. When you've got a guy like Tim Tebow that comes out in the play action or has got the ball in his hand, the corners and safeties don't know whether he's going to tuck it and run it or whether he's going to throw it. And more than likely, he's going to run it, so they break down in coverage so much. So now his window, instead of being 12 to 13 inches, his window is 110 inches. He doesn't have to be as accurate throwing the football as Tom Brady because he has another dimension to his game that Tom Brady doesn't. So this guy doesn't have to be accurate. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. When you saw the ball game last weekend, there were so many times during the course of that game that Polamalu and the other safety or the other corners were out of position, and he wasn't very accurate at throwing the ball. He just threw the ball in the area, but there was no possibility of it getting picked because the guys were out of position. And people don't realize that. So everybody's trying to say that Tim Tebow has to be able to throw the football in order to be successful. Well, no, he doesn't. He threw 10 passes, completed 10 passes last week for 316 yards, and he wasn't very accurate. It was
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
It was because he doesn't have to be, because his throwing lanes can become wider because he's a threat to run the football. And another thing that people fail to realize, is the fact that Tim Tebow isn't shying away from contact. He's 6'3", 236 pounds. He's bringing more downhill than the corner of the safety that's coming to get him. So as a result, he'll continue to take on that contact and continue to be a threat. After a while, some of these other running quarterbacks don't want the contact because they can't take the contact because they're a lot smaller guys, a la Michael Vick, Vince Young, et cetera. They're very good at running the football, but they're hurt most of the time because they're taking too much punishment. Tim Tebow's not getting hurt.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Well, Jay, hold that thought. We got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to break out another NFL playoff game, the 49ers and the Saints. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio across the nation.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Well, it helps if I turn on my microphone, guys. Hey, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. Hey, there everybody is. You know, I'm good to do that, Jay, at least once a week. Once a week, I'm good to do that. You know what? I don't know what this big red light in front of me is supposed to mean when it's on, but I'm going to assume that it means that it's on. We do have a caller. Who's this? Hello, who's this? Hello, caller. Is this Josh? I thought we had Josh on the line with us, but oh well. Anyway, Jay, man, I've went the whole show without getting any sad sacks going on here, and now all of a sudden we're just going to double sack. Well, let's go into another game of the weekend, my friend. The Saints.
Yes.
I think we do have Josh. Are you on the line with us?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
We're good. All right, we're talking to some NFL playoffs. Joining us also is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, no stranger to the show. All right, guys, we're going to talk a little bit about the Saints and the 49ers. Where the heck did these 49ers come from? Out of the radar. Stealth bombers, these guys. Nobody heard of them. All year long, they're winning games. Nobody's talking about them. Now all of a sudden, they're playing the Saints, and everybody's talking about them. The New Orleans Saints travel to face the San Francisco 49ers in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs this week. Jay, what are your thoughts about that big game on the West Coast?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. The 49ers being 13-3 is just a testament of Harbaugh coming in and changing the culture of the organization here this year. I will say that the Saints are playing probably the best football of anybody in the playoffs at this point. Drew Brees has been phenomenal. The only worry that you have going into this ball game is the fact that, from a historical standpoint, the New Orleans Saints are 0-4 in playoff road games all time, joining Cincinnati, who's 0-5. You know, it's the two worst teams in postseason history on the road. But when you look at what the Saints have been able to accomplish this year, they've got a great defense. They're averaging about 37 points a game. They're playing lights out, like we said, talked about last week. I believe that they're probably on their way to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with the Saints in this ball game because weather won't be a factor. It's supposed to be 66 degrees out there. So I got to go with the Saints taking care of business in the Bay Area.
Well, and you know what? You very well might have a good point there, but I want to make sure that we get to Josh. Josh, I know you're only going to be with us for a limited amount of time here. The Saints and the 49ers, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree the Saints have a high-powered offense. I think San Francisco is going to keep the ball on the ground. And in a very low-scoring game, I'm going to pick the Niners to win 17-14 just because Drew Brees can't get on the field to put any points up.
Well, there you go. And I tell you what, and Josh, that's a good point. I don't know if you, how much longer you could stay around with us. But here's the thing. I tell you what, the Saints do rely on their offense to carry them, and the defense do just enough to get the 49ers by to rely on their dominant Alex Smith to just set up David Akers. Now, here's what I think. I like the 49ers, and I tell you why I like the 49ers. One, hello, they're in round two of the NFL playoffs, and nobody's talking about them. So they're doing something to win games. I like them a lot, actually a whole lot. I like Jim Harbaugh. He has created a defense that I think can stop Drew Brees. And, guys, I would not put out the San Francisco 49ers just yet. I'll tell you what, it's 22 days, 8 hours, 52 minutes, 37 seconds till the Super Bowl comes here to Indianapolis. And we are waiting with open arms, Mr. Jay Graves.
How about you, boy?
I tell you what, man. Who says you cannot have a Super Bowl in a winter wonderland?
Hey, you know what? We'll talk about that as we get closer to the game. I've got an opinion on Indianapolis having the Super Bowl, but it has nothing to do with the facilities or the people. It just has everything to do with people that come in for the Super Bowl like to hang out and party and do things during the course of the day, and it's going to be difficult to do it in 10 degrees and 10 inches of snow.
I'll tell you what, though, they've got it set up down there. I don't know if you've been down there recently, and they're going to have warmers, and they're going to have all kinds of stuff. And one of the good things about it is, you know, Indiana has a pretty strict rule about walking around outside with your booze. They're going to let people do that. They're going to lax the rules on that a lot like they do out at the track at the Indianapolis 500. If you're within a perimeter, you can walk around and drink. I tell you what, it's going to be – if you've got the money to go down there and party for that weekend and you got the coinage and the pesos, I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be a good party. It just might be a little cold doing it, but I think so. Hey, Josh, real quickly – before we let you go, I know you had some thoughts that we talked about this week on the hiring of the new Colts general manager. You also seem to think that he'll get rid of Jim Caldwell. I don't subscribe to that theory. I think that Jay also subscribes to that theory. So before we let you go, Josh, go ahead and give us your thoughts on the new Indianapolis Colts general manager.
I think it's an absolute great hire. Sources, including Chris Mortensen, Adam Schefter, Jay Glazer, several other big-time NFL sources seem to indicate, and I would agree, Caldwell's going to get fired, and the reason Jeff Fisher hasn't taken a job, he's waiting for the Indianapolis job to open. And I say as soon as it does, 1 o'clock, you're going to have a press conference firing Caldwell. 5 o'clock, you're going to have one introducing Fisher. But Tom, I can go ahead and stick around until 10 o'clock.
Okay, well,
Fisher took the job with the Rams yesterday.
He did take the job with the Rams. Yeah, I didn't hear that.
He took the job with the Rams yesterday. It was announced yesterday.
Well, there you go. There you go, Josh. See, here's the thing. I started this new job, and I have just been inundated with learning my new job. Until I get the ESPN salary or the JGraysReport.com salary, I have to work a real job, you know. But so I have just been in the books per se this week, and really haven't had a chance to catch up on a lot of stuff. I had heard that he was interviewing, but I didn't know that he had made it official. So there you go, Josh. Going back to what I say, Caldwell stays. And by the way, guys, let Fisher go to the Rams. That's good. I'm glad he's got a job. Good coach, okay. But come on, he's not that great. Look at his record. Look at his playoff record. What makes Jeff Fisher so great? Really? Somebody tell me that.
You know,
okay, I'll go ahead.
Go ahead, Josh.
What makes Jeff Fisher so great? He coaches discipline, dedication, hard work. And unlike Caldwell, he doesn't have his head where the sun doesn't shine. But
Here's the thing, guys. Every Super Bowl winning coach coaches discipline and hard work. Jay, what were you going to say?
So I think a lot of people look at Fisher and they get confused by the fact that he was one of the longest tenured coaches in the league, but he wasn't that successful. When you look at his records, he went to the Super Bowl once, but he didn't have I don't have it sitting in front of me, but his winning percentage wasn't all that great. He just stayed with the Titans for a number of years.
Well, and certainly longevity and seniority carries some weight. I'm not saying he doesn't need a job in the NFL. I'm just trying to figure out why he was so sought after. You would think it was Bill Belichick or Cowher I put him on the same level as Rex Ryan. Can win games, has a big mouth, but what other than that, I don't know what he has that he can bring. He's no Andy Reid. He's no Bill Belichick. He's no Tony Dungy. I mean, I don't know what he is, but I'm glad he got a job. And the Rams, certainly he's got a great quarterback. Obviously, Stafford's a good opportunity for him to coach out there, and he'll probably do very well out there with the Rams. And the Rams are certainly on that upward swing. So he's probably getting in what they call a ground floor operation with the St. Louis Rams. Probably a good match for him, much better than the Dolphins. And I certainly think it's a hell of a lot better match than the Indianapolis Colts. Josh, did you have anything else on that?
Here's the bottom line. You do not hire a general manager as respected as Ryan Grigson is, with as much potential as he is, do this big press conference about how much authority he has, and then tell him he's going to keep a coach he clearly doesn't like. Bottom line
now,
is Caldwell's gone.
No, yeah, I mean, we talked about that a little earlier. We obviously don't know what the decision will be. I think we talked about that earlier, that he will probably let Caldwell go because he wants to put his own stamp on the program, but it will probably all come down to whether Peyton Manning stays or goes. Because if Peyton Manning stays, Peyton Manning probably doesn't want to come in and play under a new coach at this point in the last couple of years of his career. Going back to the Jeff Fisher situation, Jeff Fisher was 142 and 120 winning versus losing. He was 5-6 in the playoffs, won no Super Bowls. There's nothing special about the guy other than the fact that he coached for the Titans for a number of years.
And really, I think that's where it starts and where it ends. Well, guys, we want to get back on point here because we want to make sure that we cover these NFL playoff games, which is a huge thing. Now, we're going to go back to the New Orleans game, and we're talking a little bit about Drew Brees. And Drew Brees certainly won't be handing the game off to John Casey, despite the loss of Lance Moore. The 49ers defense is excellent, guys. I like them a lot. against both the run and the pass, and they remain committed to shutting down the run as its first priority. Now, with Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles and Chris Ivory in the backfield, the Saints will test the 49ers' resolve. And Patrick Willis and Bowman will be vital for the 49ers' success with their intelligence not to fall for Breeze's play action. Now, Breeze loves the play action. He loves to set up big plays downfield, which have been very, very successful for him. The Saints won't be allowed I just don't think – I think the 49ers are going to shut down that play-action pass. So we'll start with you, Jay. What do you think – what kind of game do you think that the 49ers defense will be with Jim Harbaugh? And they have proven themselves again. Remember, they've been winning games. Nobody's talking about them. Now all of a sudden they're playing the Saints in week two of the playoffs, and everybody's talking about them. And don't tell me they haven't beat good teams, because they have. So don't rule out the San Francisco 49ers. I like them for this week. And, guys, I've been pretty good about it in the past. The 49ers do beat the Saints. The Saints go home with a breeze. Jay?
Hey, man. I'm like I said before, I'm going with the Saints. I don't think that the 49ers have the defense to shut Drew Brees down. I don't think they'll control the time of possession. Like Josh said that they would. I mean, that would be the great game plan to have, is to keep Breeze on the sideline. But I don't think that they'll be able to keep him on the sideline, because they just don't have what it takes, in my opinion.
Well, that's why you got the JGraysReport.com for your opinion. All right, Josh, what are your thoughts real quickly on the Saints and the 49ers?
Well, the 49ers have the NFL's second-ranked defense, and they have Frank Gore. I think the defense will shut the Saints down. I think Frank Gore is going to go for 230-plus on the ground. That would be 230 yards rushing, if not a little bit more. And I went to 6-9-17, Saints 14.
Okay. Did we lose you there, Josh?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Josh just says things. You know, in English, period means end of sentence. Well, Josh, period means I'm just done talking. I got nothing else to say. I'm just going to end it with this period. Leaving us radio guys standing by wanting to know what's going on. Well, for one day, guys, for the last few weeks, the picture has emerged of this year's NFL playoffs has been one of the marquee quarterbacks, high-powered offenses, and middle defenses. The ranking of the perceived Super Bowl contenders on either side of the ball are telling enough. The Green Bay Packers, for instance, have the league's top-ranked offense and a defense ranked only 19th, and the Patriots third and ranked defense 15th, and the Saints second, and defense 13th, and the Giants 9th, and 25th. So, Jay, what are your thoughts on that real quickly before we take a break?
You're talking Giants?
No, just overall. Like I said, in the past few weeks, the picture has emerged that the NFL playoffs have been more of a marquee quarterbacks and high-powered offenses and a mediocre defense. Do you think that thought is true?
Well, you know, I think so. I mean, this is actually, you know, the NFL now has become a quarterback-driven league because, you know, the rule changes with being able to protect the quarterbacks more, to not be able to bump and run the receivers as often, and so on and so forth. So you're going to start seeing people throw for more yardage. You know, 4,000 or 5,000 yards is going to start to become the norm. So, yeah, you're exactly right. You know, it's going to be more offensively driven than defense. But I still believe that defenses will win championships.
All right. Well, person that we do have on the line with us now who knows everything there is to know about nothing, and Mr. Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show. Gary, how you doing, sir?
I am doing fine. And yourself?
Good. Gary, you know what? That's the best I think I've ever heard you sound on this show. You used to sound like Darth Vader or something.
I am walking to my car. I am driving. I am hockey teamed out.
Are you headed up to Notre Dame, sir?
Not this morning. Too much snow up there.
How much snow is too much snow for Gary Snyder?
Well, I was going to go with my stepfather because he holds the Gary Snyder Show photo credential. And they had about 16 inches of snow through yesterday and expecting some more lake effect today. So we thought twice about it and decided maybe the best option was just to stay at home and watch football.
Well, there you go. Sounds like a good option. So that's a good play option for you, sir. So, all right, we're talking about the and we'll go ahead and get your thoughts real quickly on the on Tim Tebow, the Broncos, and the Patriots, and then also give us your thoughts on the Saints and the 49ers, and then you'll be caught up with us. Go right ahead, sir.
You know, when you take a look at the Saints and the 49ers, when you watch the Saints, they just seem to have a problem playing outside, and it doesn't matter what type of weather. You put them on turf, you put them in Candlestick Park, even though the weather's supposed to be a little balmy. Their offense just isn't the same. I like San Francisco in this. I think I said this last night on my show. San Francisco by a field goal to upset the New Orleans Saints. As far as the Broncos and Patriots go, I will follow. I can't remember if it was Jay or Jimmy that said this. They are Satan's spawn, and they are facing God's quarterback. They played last time. The Patriots did come out on top, but when you take a look at that game, five turnovers contributed to that 21-point loss. I don't expect Denver to turn that over. I don't expect them to have five turnovers. If Tebow can hold on to the ball, that the defense of New England is very porous at best, especially since their all-pro defensive end is now out for the season. I think the Broncos have a good shot in this game. As long as they don't turn it over, I'm not expecting them to. So I say in a close game, Tebowie strikes again.
Tebowie strikes again. Well, he keeps winning. He keeps winning. Well, guys, we got two more games to break down. We got the big game up at Green Bay, and we got the game against Baltimore in the playoffs as well. So we want to break that down as well. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio across the United States. It's the NFL playoffs week number two. It's the Balance. It's Saturday. Glad you're here.
So when they know that I'm a star, so I got to be shows over. To the other side of the cantina, I asked the guy, why you so fly, except Funky Coleman.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right. One thing that isn't pooping for real is the Balance, except for my board op today. I don't know what's going on with that. I didn't turn my mic on one time and just cut off a spot, but that's okay. We're all good. We're all back together here, guys. Well, one game, one key marquee game that I want to get to, guys, Green Bay the Giants, Eli Manning. Oh, my God, is that boy on fire? I don't know which Manning I like better at this point, Peyton Manning or Eli. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's only one Manning playing, Eli Manning. I think he could go up there and take care of business in Green Bay. So we're going to start with you, Mr. Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com. Eli Manning is on a storm, and they're headed up to Green Bay to the frozen tundra to finally shut down the Green Bay Packers.
Hey, you know what? Before the playoffs started, I said that the Saints would actually go to Green Bay and win and make it to the Super Bowl. But the more I watch the New York Giants, I don't think Green Bay is going to be standing next week. Eli Manning is playing lights-out football right now. Their offense is able to run the ball. I hope that Bradshaw is going to be healthy. I know that he was limited in practice this week with some foot injuries, et cetera. But if he's healthy and they're able to run the ball as effectively as they have been, and Eli does what he's capable of doing, I mean, he's throwing, he's over 5,000 yards now. I believe that New York is looking very reminiscent of their recent Super Bowl run. So I'm going to go out on a limb and pick the Giants.
Well, you know what? I am right there with you. I think definitely this is the year for the Giants, and I would not be surprised if we don't see another Manning in Lucas Oil Stadium this year at Indianapolis. Gary, what are your thoughts about this huge game, the Green Bay Packers and the New York Giants?
I think when you take a look at the New York Giants, they're playing awfully well. They seem to be peaking at the right time. Unfortunately for them, they have a very beat-up secondary, so that means they'll have to get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers to compensate for that lack of pass defense in the secondary. I don't think they can. They'll get a little pressure on Aaron Rodgers, but they are just not going to be able to stop him on defense. And then there's no way that the Giants are going to be able to get in a shootout and win with the Green Bay Packers. I'm taking the Packers by at least 10.
Wow. I don't know who you've been watching recently, and maybe it's just because you're just as got a big of a man crush on Aaron Rodgers as you do Tim Tebow. I'm not exactly sure. But where you came up with that score at, I have no idea. You've got all-pro defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul thinks the New York Giants are going to beat the Green Bay Packers in Sunday's divisional game at Frozen Tundra. Oh, and I think if they do, Pierre-Paul Jay will be out in the middle of it. There's no proven formula for stopping Aaron Rodgers and the Packers' offensive guys, but get the pass rush pressure up without blitzing and dropping more players into coverage would be a good start. So a big day by Pierre-Paul and his fellow defensive linemen could go a long way toward helping the Giants knock off the Super Bowl champs. And, guys, I think the Green Bay Packers have had a great season. Don't get me wrong. I love Aaron Rodgers, too. He's one of the best quarterbacks out there. Certainly is a fantastic team. And they're playing at the Frozen Tundra. I love just saying that. I could say Lambeau Field, but why not say the Frozen Tundra? I think the elements could come into play this weekend, guys. I think that could be a big factor. But the Giants, man, these guys are – what I like about the Giants and the Packers, guys, these are blue-collar players, and they're going to go at each other's throats, and it's going to be a playoff game like you've never seen, Jay. This is stereotypic playoff football. It is the Packers, the Giants. You don't really get a better matchup than Aaron Rodgers and Eli Manning, Jay.
You're right. I mean, it's going to be exciting. I think, and because you've got two elite quarterbacks going head-to-head, you know those defensive coordinators have come up with game plans to try to limit the possessions of each of those quarterbacks. So it's going to be it's going to be a chess match.
All right, real quickly, any final thoughts on the Giants in Green Bay before we move on to our final game of the day, Gary?
No, I just think you guys are giving the Giants too much credit. They have a beat-up secondary. They're not going to be able to cover any of the wide receivers. And you better hope that the defensive line for the Giants sack Aaron Rodgers on every play, because if they don't, he will rip that secondary a new one.
And you know what? Gary, we're going to keep you off of Google, man. You gotta stop reading the bloggers. No, just kidding with you, buddy. Well, guys, we got one more game to break down here real quick, and then we're going to jump into some football action. Evan Williams from Bleeding Golden Black is going to be on with us. We're going to talk some Purdue basketball, some IU basketball, and Big Ten basketball. So we want to get into the hoop action, and I know Evan's standing by, so we want to get through this game real quickly. It is the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans. Actually, it's going to be a pretty good game, but I think Baltimore controls this game all the way through. What are your thoughts, Jay?
Well, you know what? I'm going with you. I believe that I'm believing more in the wisdom and the tenure of the Baltimore Ravens defense than I am the rookie quarterback for the Texans. Yates, you know, T.J. Yates has played a very good year. I just think that Ed Reed and company have been very good over the years at baiting quarterbacks to turn the ball over. And typically, though, when they turn the ball over against the Ravens, or anyone turns the ball over against the Ravens, it turns into points. So I'm going to go with the Ravens at home to beat the Texans.
All right, Gary, any thoughts on the Texans and the Ravens?
Yeah, I didn't even pick the Texans in last week. That was my only loss last week. And they have the rookie quarterback. I just not buying into the Houston Texans as being a Super Bowl caliber team, especially with a rookie quarterback who, let's be honest, he's a backup quarterback. I think the defense for the Ravens is just going to be too much for that offense. They'll be lucky to put up 10 points on the board for the day. And I think Joe Flacco does just enough to outscore the Texans. And I look for this to be a pretty easy game for the Ravens.
All right. Well, guys, that's going to have to do it. A wrap on the NFL football a portion of the show. Can you guys, Jay, I think you said you had to head out at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Gary, can you you want to stick around and talk some hoops with us, or do you got to go too?
Yeah, I got to take my wife to school. She's got a Saturday class.
Wow, I'm going to tell you what, you guys are just awesome dads and husbands and all of that good stuff. So real quickly, we'll start with you, Jay. Where can people find your work and masterpieces?
Yeah, you can find me at thejgravesreport.com, and you can hit me up on Twitter at jgravesreport. Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy. All right, Gary Snyder Show. Tell us how we can find you.
Oh, you can find us at GarySnyderShow.com. You can find us at 1400 WBAT weekdays from 3 to 6 on Blog Talk Radio. So not too hard.
All right, Gary, we appreciate you joining us. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking some hoops with Evan Williams of Bleeding Golden Black. We're going to talk about Big Ten, the Hoosiers, and Purdue when we get back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
I'm Coach John Elway.
He's rewriting the book.
Week in and week out.
He's a unique football player.
That's what Tim Tebow's all about.
He's a gamer. He's a caller. Playmaker. Shot caller. He's a gamer. He's a caller. Playmaker. Shot caller. Unleash
Tim Tebow. Let him go.
It's time.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente, your host. We're going to start hour number two. Time to dive into NCAA basketball hoop action, boys. Hoop day it is. All right. Joining us with me is Mr. Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black from Purdue University and the know-it-all guy when it comes to college hoops. Mr. Evan Williams. Evan, so glad that you could join us today.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, man. It's our pleasure. Our pleasure. Well, first of all, let's get some football talk out of the way with you. What are your thoughts about the new hire from the Indianapolis Colts, new general manager?
I definitely like that one, considering Grigson's a Purdue guy. But I think he's going to do a great job. You know, he's done a great job with the Eagles in the past. And I really think he's a good hire for the Colts.
Well, and you know what? Time will tell. What do you think he will do with Jim Caldwell?
I think Caldwell, I still think he deserves the job there. You know, this past season was just a very horrible turn of events for the Colts because of Manning's injury. And, you know, just 2 years ago, they were making a run to the Super Bowl. So I don't think that he should fire Caldwell. I think Caldwell should get another shot.
And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that that really is a lot of things that I believe that he's going to get a pass this time around, especially since we just don't know what's going to happen with Peyton Manning. And I think that if we rock the boat too much, that could hurt us too much. Well, let's just get on into the basketball portion of the show, which is where your expertise is at, Purdue University anyway, Purdue, Bleeding Gold and Black. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with Purdue this year, and then we'll get into some other hoop action and get your thoughts on some up-and-coming recruits as well. So go ahead.
Well, recently, Purdue's been struggling a little bit. Obviously, the other night, they lost at home for the first time in 26 games, ending their home winning streak to Wisconsin, a good Wisconsin team, though they've been struggling too lately. And what I noticed from that game is that the shots weren't falling. You know, that's kind of a weird way, something that is kind of a bad excuse on why you didn't win. But it just seemed like nothing was going in. Wisconsin was really hitting everything. They started off the game hitting the first 5 3-pointers and got up to a huge lead early. At one point, it was 22-4. Purdue did do a good job of coming back at the game within three a couple times, but then they turned the ball over, miss a shot, and then Wisconsin go down and hit another three. So Purdue stands at 13-5 now and 3-2 in the Big Ten. So I don't think it's time to panic yet, but Purdue definitely cannot afford to lose any more games at home. I mean, they've got a very tough road schedule. They've got Ohio State on the road, IU at Assembly Hall. They've got Michigan State on the road, I believe, all very good teams. So Purdue's going to have to do everything they can to win now at home, I think, to have a really good shot at making the NCAA tournament.
Well, and I think you're right. I think Purdue is actually struggling as well. And joining us now from the Philadelphia Inquirer, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, and our know-it-all guy and go-to guy when it comes to Penn State University, Mr. Ed Kratz. How are we doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks. What a great introduction. Thank you.
Hey, man. And anything that I could do. You know what? I've been trying to get everybody's thoughts, and I know that you're very familiar with our new general manager here in Indianapolis, Mr. Ryan Grigson. So tell us a little bit about him. Help us get to know him a little bit real quickly, and then we're going to talk a little hoop action with you.
Yeah, sure. Ryan Grigson, probably until last week, you would have to have been a diehard football fan, especially of the Eagles, so we've even heard of Ryan Grigson. It's not too often that the director of player personnel gets too many accolades. They kind of work in the shadows. But I did meet Ryan a couple times over the years, and the interesting thing about him, and maybe you know this, is that he was hired in 1999 by the St. Louis Rams, and that year the Rams went to the Super Bowl and won it. He came to the Eagles in 2004, and that season the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. So, maybe that's a good sign for the Indianapolis Colts. Maybe bringing him on board, maybe they'll land in the Super Bowl after the 2012 season. But, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a hard worker. He knows his stuff. I think this may impact the Eagles a little bit in that, he did know a lot about college, the players that are coming out, and the draft. Of course, I guess with the Colts, it's kind of a gimme that they're going to take Andrew Luck with the first pick, but then you have several picks after that. And, Grigson knows this stuff. I think it was a great hire by the Colts. I really do. They got rid of the Polians, which was a surprise, and they've moved on. And this seems like a good turning of the page in Indianapolis. Of course, I think they're going to talk this weekend about Jim Caldwell and his status. I don't know what that's going to result in. I don't know if he's going to bring him back. There's been some talk, especially here in Philadelphia, that Marty Morningweg, the offensive coordinator with Andy Reid for the last 8 years, could be in line if Jim Caldwell is not retained to maybe be at least interview for the head coaching job. If not, then maybe Marty goes anyway in some capacity to kind of tutor Andrew Luck. Marty does a great job with quarterbacks. He's worked with Andy Reid, who has done a good job with quarterbacks. So it's going to be a very fluid situation in Indianapolis there over the next couple of weeks. It'll be interesting to follow and see how it all pans out.
And that it will, absolutely. And, we'll certainly – and that is providing that Andrew Luck even comes to the Indianapolis Colts. But that's a different topic for a different show at a different time. If we want to get into some basketball talk, the Lions just can't do it, buddy. The Nittany Lions falling to Nebraska, giving to Nebraska their first Big Ten victory. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on with Penn State in the hoop action.
Well, Penn State has never been, as you know, you follow the Big Ten there. Basketball has never been, one of their high-level sports. Their new head coach, he's in his first year. He's going to try and build. He has to build up. But for some reason, I just don't understand why, Penn State's basketball program, they have terrific facilities there. I've never understood why they are unable to attract your five-star recruit, your top-level recruit, and to really build a program and go on a nice run. I know there have been some spots where they have brought in some players, but never that kind of hysteria that's generated by a nice NCAA tournament run into the Elite Eight or Final Four. For some reason, they just not have been able to put that together. The hope is that this first-year coach will stick around for a while and develop and begin to get into some of the hot pockets of the recruiting areas. I don't know if that'll be able to get done, but like I said, their facilities, if you've ever been there, are top-notch. And that's what recruits look for, is the facilities. And Penn State is on television. It's another thing recruits look for, is they want to be on TV. And for some reason, Penn State just has not been able to lure that type of talent that's going to put them into that elite level for a few years.
And I absolutely agree with you. And we've also got joining us with us also is Mr. Evan Williams from Purdue University, Bleeding Gold and Black. And Evan is a self-proclaimed expert on recruiting. actually, he's the guy that does know it all, in all seriousness, when it comes to recruiting. And I want to get your thoughts a little bit on recruiting. The Big Ten is starting to get a couple Evan, I want to get your thoughts. The Big Ten is starting to get a couple of big name, obviously, with Cody Zeller, with IU, and a couple other big name recruits. But typically, the Big Ten does better in recruiting for basketball than it does for football. But what does the Big Ten have to do overall to get that big name talent, as Ed was talking about down in Penn State? Evan, what does the Big Ten have to do to get big name basketball recruits or football recruits?
Well, for basketball, it's interesting because Indiana and Illinois and even Michigan are kind of hotbeds for recruits. If you look at all the recruit rankings, there's a lot of players from Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, even Ohio. So I think that really benefits the Big Ten because it's all local. And but like with Penn State, because they haven't had that tournament success or gone really far in the tournament, that's what hurts with the recruit, and that even hurts Purdue too. You know, I think sometimes Purdue even misses out on that top-level talent because, you know, recently we haven't had a deep run into the tournament. And with the great facilities too, Purdue just made a huge multi-million dollar renovations, and their facilities are now one of the best in the nation. And still, it's just because I think recruits really look for tournament success. You know, they want to go somewhere where they think they have a legitimate shot of making Final Fours and winning national championships. So I think for a Big Ten school to really attract, you know, that five-star talent, you have to make a recent deep run in the tournament.
Go ahead, Ed. Did you have anything on that?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. It is kind of a catch-22. You know, in order to get the recruit, you need to make a deep run, but in order to make a deep run, you need to get the top recruit. You know, it's the old what comes first, the chicken or the egg argument. I think you need to get lucky in some of your recruiting. I know a school here, St. Joseph's University, back in 2004, landed Jameer Nelson, who is now in the NBA with the Orlando Magic, and Delonte West, who was in the NBA also. I believe he's with the Dallas Mavericks right now. But they had both of those boys on the court at the same time as guards, and they went undefeated in the regular season, 27-0. And this is a tiny, you know, 5,000, 6,000 enrollment school right in Philadelphia. You may remember that season. They went to the Elite Eight and lost out on a John Lucas miracle shot at the end that put Oklahoma State into the Final Four. I was at that game. It was a great run that St. Joe's went on that year. They were ranked number one in the country at the time, and they were a number one seed in the tournament. But the point being is that they really got lucky with that, with the development of Jameer Nelson, who was a 5'8" point guard in high school, not really highly sought after, and he developed into a very productive NBA player right now. And the same with Delonte West. He was another kid out of the Baltimore area that wasn't too highly regarded. St. Joe's took a chance on him and developed him, and they made this great run. And I think that's what you need if you're a Penn State program or one of the, you know, consistently near the bottom type programs in the Big Ten, is you need to get lucky with a recruit or two and make that run and then build on it from there.
And absolutely, and here's the thing. I know we got a lot of listeners up in Michigan with our WROM up in Detroit who listen to us on Sunday nights up there, and so glad that you guys are with us. And certainly feel free to chime in on the conversation, obviously via email or website comments. But Michigan State and Michigan are two really good strong teams with an average wins of 13.26 with Michigan State and Michigan 10.888. Wins. Obviously, we're a quarter of the way through the season. Man, where time goes when you're having fun. But those are some big obstacles. And Penn State, well, at least this year anyway, and in the last couple of years, have been down at the bottom of the poll, and Purdue's kind of in the middle of the pack. And then you've got Ohio State. So let's kind of merge into some Big Ten projections. Obviously, my favorite IU. I'm an IU alum, but I love what they're doing this year. That aside, and the fact that I'm a huge IU fan and an IU alum, that aside, Evan, IU's doing some great stuff. Can they win the Big Ten? If not, who can?
For them to win the Big Ten, they just have to keep winning. I don't think Ohio State's going to lose much more. I don't think Michigan State's going to lose much more. So if IU wants to contend for the title, they have to just keep winning. They can't lose like they lost to Minnesota the other night. They can't have those games, especially at Assembly Hall. I think that's the key. But overall, I still think Ohio State's the favorite. Sure, they lost to Assembly Hall, but that's one of the toughest places to play in the conference, especially when IU's hot. So I think Ohio State is still the favorite. The talent level there is just unbelievable right now.
All right. Ed, what are your thoughts on the Big Ten and who can win the Big Ten and what have they got to do to win it?
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with Ohio State being the team to beat, but that does not make them unbeatable. I think, you know, certainly Indiana has a shot. Maybe they're inexperienced. The fact that they, you know, it's been some time since they have been there and have played big game after big game on a consistent basis and shown that they can win that game. But, you know, you certainly can't discount them. Purdue, I know we talked about them earlier. They really need to get it together. They have talent. And, you know, in these conference tournaments, it's such high stakes and such high pressure that you just never know who can deal with that. But Ohio State certainly seems the best equipped team to handle that. But we'll see. It is hard to believe that, you know, we're past the halfway point here and heading for home. But this is the exciting time of year is when these games really start to ramp up and the stakes become higher.
And I absolutely agree. And I know you told me that you could only stay with us for a few minutes, so I don't know if you've got to head out here.
Yeah, I kind of do, Tom. I'll jump off here, but...
Hey, real quickly, where can people follow your work, and where can they find your masterpieces at?
My Twitter account is Kratzee. It's KRACZE, and they can follow me on PhillyBurbs.com.
All right, Ed.
Thanks,
go
guys.
Ahead, Ed. Yeah, thank you, Ed. Ed Kratz of the Philadelphia Inquirer, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, covers Penn State University and as well as other notable teams around the Philadelphia area. So always good to have him on the air. Evan, can you stick around a little bit? I want to continue our conversation here with the hoop. Can you stick around with us for a while?
Yeah, I got time, Tom. I'm good.
All right. I certainly appreciate that. We'll be right back with Evan Williams. We're going to continue to talk some hoop action, some Big Ten action, and looking forward into the month of March. Man, we're almost there. We'll be right back on the Balance Radio Network.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
See, you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Mark with Sal Presidente. It is Saturday, and it is The Balance Radio Network. Joining me now is Evan Williams, a bleeding gold and black Purdue University student who we just enjoyed having on and talking about some hoop action. So let's talk a little bit about Purdue and what's going on with them going forward. Obviously, they've got the IU game to look forward to, but some other things that are going on with Purdue basketball and as well as women's basketball. I know you cover that as well. So what's going on over there at Purdue University, Evan?
Well, Tom, like I said earlier, Purdue just came off the disappointing rare home loss to Wisconsin the other night, 67-62. So moving on, Tuesday now, Purdue plays Iowa, who we beat earlier in the year, very close game at Iowa. So now they come in to Mackey Arena on Tuesday, I believe, is when the game is. And that, I think, like I said, a definite must-win at home now. Purdue can't afford to lose any, you know, the games that should be give-me's at home. So that's also Jimmy Buffett night at Purdue at Mackey Arena.
Jimmy Buffett night, huh? Cheeseburger in paradise. So is everybody going to be wearing their parrot heads and their Lays and their tropical shorts in this type of weather?
I don't know what to expect. I'm really not a huge fan of the idea just because, one, I don't see how it relates, and two, I think Jimmy Buffett's a little bit before our time. I don't know. I wasn't too thrilled with the idea, but hey, if people like it and people want to do it, then more power to them.
Well, I like that. Yeah, that was a little bit before your time. Not before my time, though. I like Jimmy Buffett. I like a little cheeseburger in paradise. And here in Indianapolis, he always sells out when he comes in the summertime out there at Deer Creek. He always sells it out. Yeah, I think he does two or three shows, if I'm not wrong about that. Well, I want to get back to some Big Ten action, and we can talk some other hoop action as well. And if you guys got any thoughts or questions for myself or Evan, 917-889-8516 is the digits to get with us across the United States. But as usual, it's difficult, Big Ten basketball here in mid-January, to really kind of look at what's going on past the Big Ten, but a lot of implications. A lot of people look at the Big Ten, and like we talked about just a few minutes ago, I think Ohio State and Michigan State are clearly the two best teams in the Big Ten. But why, when we talk about the two best teams in the Big Ten, and we look at what IU is doing, again, I'm taking myself out of the equation because I'm such a huge fan. This is just more for discussion, Evan. Why is IU not in those discussions as two of the best teams in the Big Ten right now?
I think they're obviously having a very good year, much improved from the past two seasons. And a lot of that, I think, goes with the impact Cody Zeller's having. But I think the reason why they're not being considered as one of the best right now is, I think, obviously they just had not a good home loss to a not very good Minnesota team. And then when they did go on the road, they lost pretty big at Michigan State. So I think that's why, I mean, yes, Kentucky and Ohio State were huge wins. They had a big advantage being at Assembly Hall. But I think it'll come. I mean, if they continue to impress people, if, you know, they go on the road and get a couple more big road wins, I think, you know, if they come up to Mackey Arena and, God forbid, they beat Purdue, I think, you know, if they beat Purdue, if they can beat, you know, the Wisconsins and those types of teams on the road, I think then IU can be considered one of the best teams in the Big Ten.
Well, I tell you what, I want to talk a little bit about buy-sell stocks. I like to throw this in the mix to people every now and then when we're talking about different sports, especially earlier on in the season, is what do you put your stock in and what do you sell your stock on? And some of the stocks that I think, and we're talking about Big Ten basketball here on The Balance on Saturday morning with Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black,
But three stocks that I would like to see buy would be Michigan State. Michigan State wins 15 in a row, and they're on fire. Let me ask you this. Is anybody going to stop Sparty?
I think it's going to be very tough to stop Michigan State. They're a very talented team, very well coached. Tom Izzo is one of the best coaches in the country, and they're really playing well right now. I mean, it's going to be very tough to beat them. I really can't see them losing at home. And so if you're going to want to beat Michigan State, you're going to have to play one of the best games of your season.
Well, you know, Michigan showed its guts at home over Northwestern, four over the next five on the road. I like Michigan. What are your thoughts about the Wolverines?
I like Michigan a lot, too. I really like the way they play, and I think John Beilein's doing a great job this season. There's a lot of talent there, too. Trey Burt, freshman, wasn't highly recruited coming out of high school, and he's done a great job running the point for the Wolverines. They've got Zach Novak, who's from where I'm around my area, up in the region, doing a great job. Tim Hardaway Jr., very talented sophomore. I really like how Michigan's playing this year, and they're only going to continue to get better because they're bringing in a very, very good recruiting class next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, Evan, the other team that I really like on my three stocks to buy list, Illinois. That heart-stopping win over Ohio State, man, couldn't come at a better time, huh?
Yeah, Illinois is another team that you're going to have to definitely keep an eye on because they have extremely tough players. That's the one thing I noticed. Even when they lost to Purdue at Mackey Arena, I noticed how tough Illinois was and how they wouldn't give up, even when they were down by a lot. And I think that'll go a long way for the Illini.
Well, we're talking college hoops with Evan Williams. So glad that you could join us today. If you guys got any thoughts on college hoops, give us a call back, and we're going to probably spend the rest of the show talking about college if Evan can join us for another 30 minutes or so. Now, another team my stocks to sell, if you will. And, again, guys, this is just for a conversation purposes, nothing more than just really my observation. This is my observational outlook. This doesn't necessarily mean that I'm out there saying bad things or good things about these teams, but this is where I get the most riff on my Twitter and on Facebook. Hey, man, how can you slam my boys, man? Well, here's we'll just start with you. Because Purdue made the list, Evan. Not that you're one of my slammers, because you're not. But here's the thing. If I was to look at buy, sell, sell, buy, sell Purdue right now, I mean, few scoring options, no post game, awful free throwing shooting. Is this really a tourney team this year?
I do think they can be a tourney team. They just have to win. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I do think they're still a very good home team. Let me pull it up. Yeah, there's still definitely a lot of winnable games out there. You know, Northwestern, play them twice. Nebraska, we've got Penn State at home, which we can hopefully beat. And, Iowa coming up. I think Purdue can pull off some upsets. I think they could knock off Michigan. They could knock off Indiana. They just have to play well. You know, if they come out playing like they did against Penn State and like Wisconsin, then sure, I don't think they can be a tourney team if they play like that. But if they play like they did against Illinois, where they just blew them out and never let them in the game, if they play like they did against Minnesota the other night, I think they can definitely make the tournament.
Well, and you know what, just so that I'm playing fair here, I'm going to throw Indiana on my stocks to sell this week as well. A home loss to Minnesota, winless Minnesota, WTF, Whiskey Tango, Foxtrot, what the hell? So really, I mean, I'm going to throw the Hoosiers under the bus on that game. At home, at Assembly Hall, Minnesota, really? A home loss to Minnesota? So what are your thoughts on that game, Evan?
I actually watched most of that game, you know, after the Purdue loss, same night, came back from the game and was pretty disappointed about that. Turned on the Big Ten Network and saw that Minnesota was beating IU. That made me feel a little better. But I agree. I can't believe that they lost to Minnesota. I expected them to beat them by a lot, considering it was at Assembly Hall. And I think this just shows that IU is beatable at Assembly Hall. You know, after they beat Kentucky, beat Ohio State, I think people thought that, well, they're invincible at home. But I think this just shows that in the Big Ten, anything can happen, and you have to play the game first.
Well, and I absolutely 100% agree with you. Now, one other, before we take a break, one other team that I say it's time to sell the stock on them this week anyway is Iowa. Two losses in a row, including a 95-61 hammering to Michigan State. Thoughts?
I agree. I think Iowa's still a couple years away from getting to the top half of the Big Ten. They've played some really close games this year. They almost beat Purdue at home. But, I don't see the talent level at Iowa right now being able to carry them into the tournament.
Well, all right. Can you stick around for us for another break? I'm going to talk with you a little bit about your thoughts on the Big Ten Coach of the Year and just some other Big Ten action and some other college action. Can you stick around with us, Evan?
Yep.
All right. We'll be right back with Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black. We're talking college hoops. Write down these digits, 917-889-8516. Blog Talk Radio, this is The Balance. We'll be right back.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance on the Balance Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio across the United States. Joining me today, talking some hoop action, what's going on in the Big Ten and our thoughts on what's going to happen in the Big Ten from Bleeding Gold and Black, Mr. Evan Williams. What's going on, my friend?
You know, Tom, just enjoying this nice, cold Saturday morning in West Lafayette, Indiana.
I'm going to tell you what, we have really gotten spoiled here in Indiana for the winter. And, you know, we had like 50 or 60 degrees early last week, and now here we are, sub-zero weather in the last couple of days. One thing about Indiana weather, if you don't like it, stick around and it'll change, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing about West Lafayette. At least down at IU, we've got the trees to kind of protect the wind. Up at Lafayette, West Lafayette at Purdue, it's all on a big hill, and it just goes everywhere, and you freeze even in the summertime out there.
yeah, it's pretty windy.
When the wind starts kicking up there at West Lafayette, you really definitely feel it. It's brutal, that's for sure. Well, we're going to continue our Big Ten hoop action conversation. If you guys want to join in the conversation, you're more than welcome to. 917-889-8516. Now, Evan, I want to talk about my top three contenders for Big Ten Coach of the Year. And let's start with my top one, Tom Izzo of Michigan State. And we've talked about Michigan State here in the last few minutes as well. His team is defending and rebounding, which is all his great squads do. For a Final Four trip, number seven might be in the loom there. What do you think?
I definitely think any time you talk for Big Ten Coach of the Year, Tom Izzo has to be in that conversation year after year. He has some of the top teams, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country. And this team this year has shown that they're the real deal. Guys like Draymond Green and freshman Brendan Dawson, those types of guys, I mean, that kind of talent, the fact that Tom Izzo can bring those guys in year after year, you know, he's got another very, very good recruiting class next year. I definitely think he's a definite top three candidate for Big Ten Coach of the Year this year.
Well, you know what? Again, I like to play fair here. Another Tom Crean of Indiana. Come on. Yes, that home loss to Minnesota did hurt. It was like a shot in the gut. No one expected it. But I don't think really no one expected the Hoosiers to be this good either. And Crean is on a roll. And I think the rest of the Big Ten should be scared with Tom Crean at the helm. What do you think about him for Big Ten Coach of the Year?
I think he's a definite candidate. You know, that the past two seasons of IU basketball have just been very, very bad and disappointing, just to be straightforward about it. So I think the fact that they're as good of a year they're having this year, he's definitely got to be a guy that you got to keep in that conversation for Big Ten Coach of the Year. I think a lot of that does come with how well Cody Zeller is playing. He can do it all, and I think he just makes everyone on the floor better. But some of the guys on IU have really stepped up this year. You know, Jordan Holes has really stepped up. I never really thought he could be a top Big Ten point guard because he's not very big, and he was more of just a shooter. But I do think he's made a lot of improvement. Christian Watford, he had some injuries last year, and he's really improved a lot. Victor Oladipo, another guy, you know, he was not recruited very heavily out of high school, and he's really performed well this season. So I definitely think Tom Crean's a candidate for Coach of the Year. As long as Indiana keeps winning and they keep winning at home, I think that can definitely be a possibility.
Yeah, the other guy that I like this year, and feel free to add anybody to the list that you want, Evan, but I like John Bell, and maybe I'm saying the name wrong up there, Michigan, John Bellhood. He has the Wolverines ranked number 13, and obviously he's in the title hunt, as we talked about a while ago. And imagine if Darius Morris had not turned up pro like Indiana, the Wolverines are on the rise. So you got to look at him as one of the candidates as Coach of the Year as well.
Yeah, I definitely think Coach Beilein is another serious candidate for Coach of the Year. Losing Darius Morris, he was by far their best player on a pretty good team last year. If he had stayed, I mean, they would be definitely one of the top teams in the country. I mean, it's losing a player like him, your best player, and then to still be ranked, you know, top 15, that tells you something about the coach. And I definitely think that the Wolverines are going to be around at the top of the Big Ten for the next coming years.
All right, another question here that I have for you. You know, we've talked about buy and sell stock and Coach of the Year. If you had a kid and you were the parent of a child playing basketball and was being heavily recruited by the Big Ten, at this point, if you had a recruiter in your living room right now and you had to have a discussion with that recruiter, what would you want to find out for your kid to make sure that your kid got what you were looking for out of the Big Ten?
I think that I'd have to look at the place where my kid would be in the best position to win. You know, I think that's a really important, and also not only to win, but to develop as a player. And, you know, I think everyone who goes on to play Division I basketball, you know, though it's not realistic, you know, everyone dreams of playing in the NBA. So whoever would put them in the best position to succeed and achieve their goals, and also factor in, you know, the facilities, you know, how much coverage they'd be getting, also the academics, I think that's important because, you know, you can't always play basketball forever. So I think that's another thing. You know, hopefully I'm not having kids anytime soon, so I don't know how I'll be worrying about that.
Yeah, you got a lot. You got a long ways to worry about. Not worry about it, but you got a long ways to go, probably. All right. Well, let's look at some of the games that are coming up here in the next couple of days. Obviously, today, big game, Michigan and Iowa. After opening a back-to-back road wins, the Hawkeyes are skidding with two losses in a row. A home win over Michigan could be the spark Iowa needs to get back on track. But the Wolverines are motivated and rolling behind Tim Hardaway Jr. What are your thoughts on that game?
I definitely think it's a Michigan win. Iowa's shown improvement this year, but I don't think they're at the level yet to where they can knock off a team like Michigan as well as they're playing right now.
And I totally agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't word it better. I don't see any way at all that Iowa can win this game unless just something unforeseen happens, like an injury or some sort of foul problems that Michigan gets themselves into. But I really think that this is Michigan's game to lose, and today Iowa will just have to suffer another loss. And again, playing fair, Indiana at Ohio State, obviously that game is tomorrow. Each team has even more urgency coming into this game off of a loss. The number 5 Buckeyes fell 74-70 earlier this season at Indiana and are coming off a tough loss to Illinois. The Hoosiers got dumped on. I can't get over getting beat by Minnesota on Thursday. Ohio State needs this game more than having two league losses, and the Hoosiers need this win as well. So this is going to be a good game for both games. So what are your thoughts? Indiana at Ohio State tomorrow, obviously that's a marquee game to look at.
I definitely think both teams are eager to play, both coming off losses, and you know, not very good losses, I don't think. So I think it's going to be who wants it more. You know, Ohio State, they just really got demoralized by Brandon Paul, scored 43 points on him. So I think they're going to come out hungry, wanting to win, especially at home. And then I think IU, you know, they really want to avenge that, you know, very bad loss to Minnesota. So it's going to be a tough game for IU, considering it's at Ohio State, and Ohio State's a good team at home. So it's going to be tough. I think Ohio State's going to pull it out, but it'll definitely be a close game, I think.
All right, well, one other game that I have on my list over the next couple of days is, man, this is going to be a good one, Michigan State at Michigan. And obviously that's happening over on the 17th. Two hot teams will battle to stay in the thick of the Big Ten race. Michigan's three losses have come versus foes ranked 12th or higher, Evan. The Wolverines won both meetings last year and will be looking for their first three-game or longer winning streak versus the Spartans since 1996. 98 in that area. What are your thoughts on Michigan State and Michigan?
I think this is going to be another very close game and very hard-fought game. Both teams want to beat the other team bad. You know, they're big rivals. And especially since they're both playing at a very high level right now, I think that even adds to the game and adds to, you know, how much they want to win. It is another one. It's going to be close, I think, but I think Michigan State is just playing too good right now to really lose, and I think they do have an advantage over the Wolverines, and they'll pull this one out.
I totally agree. Well, a couple things that I obviously want to talk about when we're talking about the Big Ten. Obviously, Iowa is struggling, and we talked about that just a few minutes ago. It looked like the Hawkeyes might be turning the corner to winning back-to-back road games at Minnesota and Wisconsin, but Iowa got routed in consecutive games and losing to Ohio 29 points before falling to Michigan State by 34 on Tuesday. I don't know if it was because of all the presidential action that was going on out there in Iowa, but Iowa has to turn it around, and what do they got to do that?
I think Iowa just has to build their confidence up again. You know, if they can get another good win, whether it be on the road or at home, then I think that can really change the outcomes of some of their games for them. You know, I think they say a lot of basketball is really mental. So I think if they can build their confidence up again, get a nice win here or there, then I think they can be, you know, a good team in the conference. Maybe not this year, but I definitely think, you know, in the coming years they have some good recruits coming in. So I think they can have an impact. And, you know, I'd watch out for Iowa as being, you know, a top half Big Ten team.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Big Ten title chase will continue on through today, that's for sure. Who will be? Michigan State, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio State, who knows? Won't be Purdue, I don't think. But obviously Big Ten is loaded with good teams and good players. As many as I think that we'll see as many as 8 teams in the NCAA tourney. Well, we're going to run out of time here with you, Evan, today. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts fan, is standing by with us to talk a little bit of playoff action with us real quickly. Evan, I appreciate you taking some time to come on board with us. I know you're a busy college student and trying to earn your bachelor's degree, and you're really in the book studying hard. No partying this weekend. You've got to study hard, my friend, because the real world awaits you. But where can people find your work, my buddy?
You can find my blog, Bleeding Golden Black, at bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com. And then you can follow me on Twitter for all of my Purdue and just life feelings at Evan_Williams25. Use Twitter a lot. Follow me. You won't be disappointed.
All right, Evan, we're never disappointed when you're on board with us. We look forward to you coming back, especially the closer we get to March, and really break down this tourney action.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I always enjoy it.
Thanks, Evan. Have a good weekend. Evan Williams of Bleeding Golden Black with us. Always good to have him on. We'll be right back with Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Coach Fan. Going to talk some playoff action and end the show as we take our final timeout right here on the Balance Radio Network. Blood Junk Radio across the nation.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, well, we were supposed to have a soundbite there, but welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquisell, President. Hey! All right, Mr. Josh. I mean, you're not Josh, Mr. Brian Jensen. Sad sack myself for the third time today. Buddy, you missed the other two options. I tell you what, it is playoff weekend. Hey, I played this earlier. You weren't on. I got to play this now. You may have heard this. Tim Tebow keeps on winning.
This kid is a gamer.
He's a caller. He's a playmaker and a shot caller.
In case you didn't know,
I got Tebow. He shatters the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win games.
Listen.
I got Tebow. He shatters the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is unleash.
Tell Tebow.
Let him go.
Time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
Right. On Sunday.
Unleash.
Tell Tebow. Let him go.
Time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play.
I'm going to church Sunday.
Run, pass, option. I think that's my game.
I guarantee you that.
I'm no Don Elway.
He's rewriting the book.
Week in and week out.
He's a unique
football player.
That's what Tim Tebow's all about.
He's a gamer. He's a caller. Playmaker. Shot caller. He's a gamer. He's a caller. Playmaker. Shot caller. Unleash
Tim Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
Right on Sunday.
And all he does is win. All he does is win.
One more day. One more win.
All he does is win games.
I love it, Brian. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's just one of the many hit songs that are coming out featuring Mr. Tim Tebow. What do you think, buddy? Tim Tebow, the Broncos and the Patriots? Bill Belichick? Tom Brady? Tim Tebow? What's up, my buddy?
Man, it's just unbelievable what Tim Tebow is doing. I mean, he's a good athlete and all that, but I'm sorry, but he's not a good quarterback, I don't think. I mean, you look at his throws, and they're just like, they're these wobbly, like he's like forcing the ball, like he has a, like, I don't even know how to explain it, but the thing is, this guy knows how to win. His heart is just huge, and he just knows how to win. And it doesn't matter. I mean, if he's a good quarterback or not, I mean, he just knows how to win. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I hope that he. I mean, I know he ain't gonna tear up the Patriots, but I just hope to God that he gets a win at the end. I just hope that he gets a win because I do not want the Patriots in the AFC Conference Championship, and I want it to be Tim Tebow and the Broncos.
I tell you what, he is fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
And, I'm enjoying it, so I hope that he's able to do it. So let's go through these games real quickly because we've only got a couple of minutes left with you because, well, that's about all we got left in the show. So I know you were working your real job today. Hopefully soon we could get those ESPN salaries together. You know, we got our agents working on it, so, man, maybe we can we can work something out. But I understand completely. I've got to work a real job myself. So let's break down these games as we go. So we just talked about and really I only need a 30-second breakdown on each game so that we can get to all of them. But let's go ahead and start with that game, Green Bay and Denver. I mean, not Green Bay. New England and Denver. What are your thoughts, buddy?
Well, New England's defense, you know, the secondary, I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, you know, Edelman playing, you know, defensive back. I think, you know, it's going to be a close game. I mean, Denver's defense, pretty good defense. And, you know, I mean, if Tom Brady lights it up, I mean, he lights it up, and it's going to be a blowout. But I don't really see it to be that way. I see it being a close game. And hopefully right at the end, Tim Tebow comes through, and he does it again.
All right. San Francisco 49ers, Drew Brees out there against a very incredible defense. And like I said earlier on the show, you know, a few weeks ago, nobody was talking about the San Francisco 49ers. What are they doing in the Bay Area? Jim Harbaugh. But right now, everybody's talking about the San Francisco 49ers, their defense, and Drew Brees. Can they stop the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game. Everyone thinks it's going to be a high-scoring game, but that 49er defense, they are tough. And they haven't got much credit this year. They're not really, like, you know, on the national televised games, and nobody really knows, you know, anything about that team. But I'm telling you, that defense is just, you know, it's just crazy how good that they are. And, you know, I don't see it being a high-scoring game, but I do see the Saints winning, but it's only by maybe a touchdown or a field goal.
All right, real quickly, Frozen Tundra, New York Giants and Green Bay. Another marquee matchup. Really it is. I tell you what, this is a playoff game, man in heaven. Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, what are your thoughts?
If the Giants play like they did last weekend, the Giants will win. But I really don't see it. I mean, you know, Packers offense, you know, just explosive all year. And, you know, playing, it doesn't matter where they play. They're going to, you know, they're always going to come out to play, and I don't see the Giants winning, even though I think it's going to be another one of those games, field goal, touchdown, but Packers still win.
All right, real quickly, Baltimore and Houston.
That Raven defense, that running defense, is going to stop Arian Foster, and they're going to end up coming out with the win.
All right, real quickly, one last question, and that's going to have to do it. Does Jim Caldwell keep his job with the Indianapolis Colts?
No.
No, well, I think he does. We're going to have to get on to that to a different discussion. So, Brian, thanks for joining us. Have a great week, buddy.
You too.
All right, guys, that's going to do it here for us here on The Balance for Saturday, January 14th. So glad that you could join us. It's playoff weekend number two, guys. Hope you're glued to the TV because it's going to be a great weekend. Stay tuned to The Balance. Follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, Facebook, and, of course, the World Wide Web, www.thebalanceonline.com. Check out my blogs and all the action right here on The Balance. This has been Blog Talk Radio, The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you guys next Saturday morning. Have a great week.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Boo! Boo! That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.